Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rockin' Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Trash Tuesday, we get to our trashes coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. So bring us your trashes. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, or on the phones at 855-212-4227. Also this hour, in approximately 20 minutes, I'll discuss what the impact of Vince Carter playing for another season means in the NBA lore. But let's start this hour with John Gruden. Because Gruden is already saying such Gruden-y things, I can't even take it. And tonight, Hard Knocks, beginning even more Gruden-y things. Last week, we talked about this on the show. John Gruden said that he likes Nathan Peterman. This Nate Peterman is really growing on me here, Sean. He's athletic. I know he has some nightmare performances in the NFL, but when you watch the film, you can see why. It's not all his fault. He's got some talent, Sean. He's got some athleticism. He's got some experience. He was an opening day starter for the Buffalo Bills last year. I take that serious. He's smart. He's done a good job. I wish I was making that up, but that's actually what he said. So he likes Nathan Peterman, who is arguably, actually inarguably, the worst quarterback that has a job today in the NFL. I think that that's a pretty solid bet. Nathan Peterman, worst quarterback on any team's roster right now. But here's John Gruden in training camp saying he likes him a lot. Likes him a lot. John Gruden now has this Antonio Brown situation where AB signs a monster deal with the Raiders. Shoots his way out of town. Pew, 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 pew. Yeehaw! I'm out of here, Pittsburgh! That was a weird Antonio Brown impersonation. That was like Yosemite Sam as Antonio Brown. But Antonio Brown shoots his way out of town, gets to Oakland, gets all of this money, and immediately misses time with a mysterious foot infection or affliction or something. And Antonio Brown is tweeting pictures of his feet, and it's gross. It's gross. It looks like he's had skin grafts at the bottom of his feet, blisters everywhere. Disgusting. And he hasn't been able to practice. And Gruden has admitted that he's disappointed and frustrated that AB is not out there. Now remember, Antonio Brown has had a notable day at training camp. It was when he arrived in a hot air balloon. Had nothing to do with on the field, just arrived in a hot air balloon. Hasn't been able to practice, though. Gruden said, I expect a lot more drama from number 84. I really do. I expect a little bit more than just a hot air balloon. I thought he might jump out of an airplane and parachute in. Now, may I ask, what do you think John Gruden is doing? I almost feel like I should have Jeopardy music here. Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, beep, Bop-ba-da-bop-bop-bop-bop-bop-boom-boom. All right, contestants, your answers. What is John Gruden doing? Let's start here, Mraz. What do you think John Gruden is doing by talking up Nathan Peterman and saying he expects more drama from Antonio Brown?
I think John Gruden has forgotten that he's not in the ESPN Monday night booth and he's still being an analyst while coaching a football team. And I don't think there's a bad bone in John Gruden's body, whereas you tell me all the time I suck as a producer.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my wife all the time I suck as a husband. He right. can't tell anybody all the time that they suck as a player. Everybody's great. We heard this when he was an analyst. This guy could play for my team any day. But when it comes to Antonio Brown, I think he's such a football geek and he's such a realist that rather than worry about controlling emotions in the locker room, he's just watching as a fan going, oh, I expect worse from Antonio Brown because I've seen this.
So you think he's just not a tough coach?
I don't think he has, like, I think he could coach X's and O's, but as far as everything that goes with being a coach, I think John Gruden is still a football fan and analyst first, just in a head coach's role now.
So that losing's not really going to affect him?
I don't think so. I think it might bother him for a day or so, but like I don't think it'll bother him as badly as it would bother a Raider fan, where if it's a bad loss, it leads into a Wednesday. I think he goes home that night, a little ticked off, sits home, maybe has a bowl of soup, and then he's back at it in the film room.
Bowl of soup, and then they cut the owner's hair with that
right.
bowl of soup.
Also, how can John Gruden watch... That's a good one. It's a good one, Damon. How could John Gruden watch tape, see players missing tackles left and right, and then still afterwards go, ah, that linebacker could play for my team any day? Like, he has no way of looking at film and thinking somebody stinks. Everybody's good to him. If he looked at Nate Peterman's film and said you could see why this guy's a starter, then how can you trust him to look at anybody's film and think they stink?
Pete the Body Bilotti, why would John Gruden talk up Nathan Peterman and welcome more drama from Antonio Brown?
Because I think he's analyzing all this as a fan. I think he has gone...
Kind of what Mraz just said.
What Sean said, yes. I think he's gone into that mode with that big contract that he has, where he is just going to observe it as a fan. He says, hey, look, I'm getting paid. I'm going to just sit along for the ride and see what happens. You know, and you know what? Another GM will get fired. I'll still be here. That's how he's looking at
Ultimate
it.
Ultimate job security.
Yep.
So I'm going to spin it one step farther. I think John Gruden is in full salesman mode about the Raiders. To your point, guys, I don't really think the wins and losses are going to affect him the way that the wins and losses affected him the first time around with the Raiders or even with the Buccaneers. I think ultimate job security is part of this. He knows he's around for 10 years. He knows he ain't going anywhere. $10 million a year for a decade, they're not going to fire him. He's got $10 million a year coming to him to do something in the organization. So for now, I really think this is now at the point where he's just selling the Raiders to Las Vegas. Because I think he was brought in basically as the transition guy to Las Vegas to make sure the new home of the Raiders likes the Raiders, finds the Raiders interesting. And when he says, I like Nathan Peterman, I mean, he can't really be serious. What's the use in saying I like Nathan Peterman? I mean, you will rise or fall with Derek Carr, and ain't nobody trading for Nathan Peterman. There is no use in talking up Nathan Peterman. You either sound like an idiot because Peterman's had some of the worst quarterback games in NFL history, or you don't know what you're talking about because he stinks. So there's no win there besides, kind of to Mraz's point, just talk up everybody because everybody's great. When you then say, I expect more drama with Antonio Brown. I mean, he should be parachuting into practice. You are essentially selling to the fans, this is fun. This stuff is fun. It's great that he's got a hot air balloon into practice, even if he doesn't play. It's great. In other words, when we get to Las Vegas, you're going to love this guy. He brings a lot of fun. He brings a lot of action. You're going to love it. This is just not stuff that football coaches say because all of this stuff sounds stupid for football coaches to say. It sounds good for PR guys to say. It sounds good for marketing guys to say. Marketing guys say, this Nathan Peterman dude, he's good. We got something. Marketing guys say, yeah, Antonio Brown should jump out of a helicopter into practice. Coaches don't. John Gruden's more of a marketing guy now. And this is inherently why I don't think he's a bad guy, but I don't take him seriously as a head coach, which is why I said all along this is a bad hire. He is not invested the same way he used to be in wins and losses. He's just not. He is invested in a totally different way. And that doesn't work when you're the head coach. And it's not going to work when you're the GM. That is just not going to work. So I hate saying this because Raider fans in Oakland deserved so much better. This is going to be an ugly season. It's a 6-10er. Antonio Brown is going to miss games. He's going to get frustrated with Derek Carr. And John Gruden is never going to get a rein on this ship. And they're going to head into Las Vegas, and you will be left watching bad football as your final sight of the Raiders. It is just locked in, absolutely going to happen. And I'm sorry. I wish it was going to be different because I said for the last 5 years, my only hope is that the Raiders win a Super Bowl before they leave for Vegas. I just want Oakland to have one last dash of glory, and it's not going to happen this year because Gruden is there to sell, not coach. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. That's toll-free. It's brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more in car insurance. It's a Trash Tuesday. Dixieland Dan leads us off on the phones. He's listening at radio.com in Mississippi. Dixieland Dan, good morning. Who are you trashing?
Oh, I got a pretty good one for you today, D.A., but how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thank you.
I'd like to send my deepest condolences to your family and all our thoughts and prayers for the loss of your uncle over the past week.
Well, thank you, sir.
Sorry to hear about that, my friend.
Thank you.
But
thank you for that.
I got a pretty good little trashing for you today.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to try to make this short as I can. I'll give this one a title. We're going to call this one Stupid People at Walmart.
Okay.
And I've walked into three people that I think y'all would get a pretty good kick out of. First off, there is an entrance and an exit door going into Walmart and leaving Walmart. If you'll look above the door, you'll see that there is a sign that says, enter through here, exit through here.
Right.
If you can't read that freaking sign, wait for the first sophisticated-looking person to come bebopping by, grab them and go, hey, man, can you tell me which one of these doors I'm supposed to go through? And if they tell you, ask them to escort you through there because I still don't trust you to be able to go through the right one. Second is the two ladies that, oh, my God, Karen, Stacy, we haven't seen each other in the last 20 years. Let's stand right here in the middle of the aisle and block everybody so that way nobody can get through with their freaking buggies. Look, ladies, get out of the way. I'm going to the steaks. I got food to eat. If y'all don't move, I have no problem parking my buggy right in the middle of both of y'all and joining in on your conversation. And I don't think you're going to like what I have to say after about the third F-bomb. And the last one, I think Moraz would get a pretty good kick out of this one. Or he might actually respect this. There was a, I don't know, 14, 15-year-old kid walking around. This child had on a hoodie. Yeah, it's 95 freaking degrees outside, but that wasn't the bad part about it.
Mm-hmm.
This child had a hoodie, ramen noodle themed. It had a box of ramen noodles on the front of it, a cooked bowl of ramen noodles on the back of it, ramen noodles up and down the sleeve. And not only that, tie-dye pants and rain boots. Are you freaking kidding me? It's hot as hell outside. You're going to be sitting in here looking like you're going to the gym trying to shed 150 pounds before your daughter or kid gets here. And you're just going to look like an absolute tool walking around in that. Parents, don't let your kids go out. Common sense is a dying commodity in this country if you let your kids go out dressed like that. Get me the hell out of this Walmart, off of this plane, to get me on the mothership and beam me up.
All right, trash it all. Well done, Dixieland Dan. Hit us up on the phone with your trashes at 855-212-4227.
Can I ask one thing,
yes,
just real quickly? Who the heck is Raymond Noodle?
Everybody loves ramen noodle.
I got lost. He said I'd love that, and I have no idea who he's talking about.
Ramen noodle. Ramen noodles.
Okay, so it's a ramen noodles themed sweatshirt, not ramen noodles.
Yeah, it's not a team-issued sweatshirt. of the star player Raymond Noodle. When we come back here on the show, we'll get to more of your trashes and Vince Carter's coming back for another season of NBA basketball. How does LeBron fit into this? We'll discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Morning, DA. How you doing? So I caught up on your Nomad show, and I really think it's excellent that you do that when you go to places. Me, as a fan of your show, I now feel a little bit closer to you as a sportscaster, even as just an individual.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. There's so many different ways you can listen to the show. You can listen on the tremendous CBS Sports Radio terrestrial affiliates that we have across this great country of ours, into Canada as well. Also, you can listen on Sirius XM, Channel 206, and on your phone using the radio.com app, Apple Music, the CBS Sports app, or other places that radio stations are streamed. The game plan for success, sponsored by Napa, taking a look at a team and their plan for success. The Cardinals open up the preseason games coming up on Thursday when they host the Chargers, and the game plan for success under the microscope of Cliff Kingsbury, rookie head coach, and number one overall pick Kyler Murray, working together in a game for the first time. Kingsbury has said that Kyler Murray already has full authority to change play to the line of scrimmage. So just the preseason, but still we'll get some sense of where Kyler Murray is in that offense coming up in preseason game number one. Napa Auto Parts is the expertise and parts that you need to help you keep your car on the road, no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. More trashes to you. Here is Robert in Georgia, listening on Sirius XM Channel 206. Good morning, Robert.
Hello, DA.
Hi.
Good morning, DA.
Good morning.
Second time call. Can I get a beam up?
Absolutely.
Hey, DA, it's unusual, but I'm going to trash flip-flops and sandals, anything open-toed,
okay.
And here's the reason why.
Yeah.
Feet are nasty. They stink on this.
24 minutes past the hour here on the DA show. As always, you can hit us up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll get to our trash is coming up here in approximately 15 minutes from now. And I would assume that Mraz and Pete the Body have some intense trashes because they were out last week. They had taken simultaneous vacations, which I don't know if that was the first time ever. Did you guys actually vacation together?
We did not. I was unaware until 2 days before I was about to leave that Pete was also off. I probably would have taken a different week had I known. But, yeah, and I heard Trash Tuesday, and I realized after listening to Trash Tuesday, frankly, I think I suck at Trash Tuesday.
Really?
I do. I think I need to get better. I think that was just the motivation I needed. I think much like a guy going on an injured list and seeing that person replace him and the numbers don't change, that pushed me a little bit. So I'm hoping I could deliver today, but I have to be honest, it's a little bit of nerves entering Trash Tuesday.
And why is that? Because you thought that the Diaper D aliens really stepped it up?
Yeah, I thought, first of all, they're trashes themselves, both people who love hot weather and people clap at the end of planes were both awesome.
Yeah.
But not only that, their delivery, their funny quips, even if they weren't meaning to be funny, everything about their Trash Tuesdays was essentially perfect, and it made me feel like all I am is just some kind of rambler with no real thought process. So I had to second guess a lot about my career last week while I was off listening in on the show.
So you've got some pressure on you now because you saw the prospects come up and do a better job.
Yeah, and already I'm second guessing the idea I had for Trash Tuesday because like maybe nobody else will think it's funny. I'm a mess.
A mental puddle right now.
Mental puddle.
Vince Carter is coming back for his 22nd season in the NBA. He was part of the 1998 draft class. He is coming back for one more year for the Atlanta Hawks. 22 seasons in the NBA, which is just absolutely insane. Now, Vince Carter's had a Hall of Fame career. Vince Carter's dunk ability was unquestioned, unmatched. Vince has been a tremendous role player and mentor to younger players late in his career. So it's really cool that Vince is kind of having this late career notoriety because he was never a great player on a great team. he was a great player on bad teams and then a good player on good teams, but never got this overwhelming notoriety for being an all-time great besides just how athletic he was. His historic dunk contest win is still, in my estimation, the greatest dunk contest winner ever, the greatest dunk contest performance. MJ, Dominique, unbelievable. We've had some unbelievable ones recently as well, but if you go back, and I have recently watched Vince Carter's dunk contest at Oakland in 2000, it still is jaw-droppingly amazing. But Vince Carter's going to be playing for 22 seasons, and that is going to be an NBA record. So he's going to set this NBA record this upcoming season. He will turn 42, I believe, 42 or 43. Let me just double check on this. By the time he'll turn 43 in January, right before the All-Star break, he'll be 43 years old. Now, LeBron is much younger than Vince, but look at where LeBron is right now in his career. He's 35 years old, and one has to imagine that LeBron has a lot of basketball left in him. He might not still be LeBron of a couple of years ago, but you have to imagine that LeBron is going to be pretty effective for a good amount of time here going forward. And if he wanted to, he might be able to challenge Vince Carter's record. So here's the question. LeBron's going to be 35 this December, okay, 35. And Vince is going to be 43 coming up in January. Let's start with this question. Do we think LeBron will play at an older age than Vince? Note that LeBron has said he wants to play with Bronny. LeBron James's son, Bronny, is going to be entering high school. So he has four more years minimum before he can play in the NBA. So if we take that and we add 4 years to LeBron, that puts him at 39. Okay? That would mean he'd have to play 4 years, 3 or 4 years with Bronny in the league to hit 43. Do we think that LeBron James will be playing at an older age than Vince Carter this year?
No, I do not. I do not. I think he's played way too much playoff minutes to want to do that. Also, I think going to L.A. was a sign of the long goodbye, if you will, okay, where he was setting up his Hollywood career, and you don't set that up if you're going to play another 10 years from now.
So you think he won't make it to 43 years old?
Will not.
Will he make it to Bronny? Will he play with Bronny?
Yes. I think he will structure his contract in a way that whatever year Bronny comes out, LeBron's a free agent, and he'll go take money to play a year with his son and then get the heck out.
So maybe 5 years. You'll think he could play the next 4 years with Bronny in high school and then 1 year with Bronny if Bronny comes directly to the NBA.
If he comes directly. And I will give you maybe a sixth year if LeBron feels like the team's good and maybe wants to experience some playoff basketball with Bronny.
Okay. Pete the Body, do you think that he'll end up beating Vince Carter's record?
I don't think so. I think I agree with Sean in that. I think it'll be about 5 years left. He'll play with Bronny for maybe a year.
Okay.
And then I feel like he has that a little bit more pride in him in terms of not wanting to be around too long. And I also think he has the itch to go act. So I think he'll be out in 5 years.
Okay. What do you think, Andrew Bogish? Will LeBron James beat the record that Vince Carter's going to set this year?
No. Emphatically, no.
Do you think he makes it to Bronny?
I think that's the end game. Yes.
1 year with Bronny.
Yes.
So that is 5 seasons from now. He'll have to play the next 4 years without Bronny and then 1 season with him.
Yeah, I think that's what he wants, which then leaves him how many more years till Vince? You have to do the math for me real quick again. I'm sorry.
Okay, so it's a little different because Vince came into the league at an older age than LeBron James because he played in college. Of course, LeBron did not. But this is going to be 22 seasons of basketball for Vince.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron currently has 16 seasons played. So he has to play another 6 seasons to tie Vince Carter, 7 to beat Vince Carter.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's going to get close based on me thinking he wants to play with his son, but I don't think he plays a second year with Bronny.
Okay, so that means that we're putting him down for 5 more seasons in the NBA, which would leave him 1 season short of Vince Carter's record.
And I don't even know if he gets there, but I think today that's his plan. But I don't know that he actually can do it.
So there's a big difference in Vince Carter and LeBron James at the end point of their careers. Vince Carter has played on a lot of bad teams. He has bounced around and played on non-playoff teams. I mean, he was with the Memphis Grizzlies recently. He was playing for the Dallas Mavericks. He played for Sacramento 2 years ago. He played for Atlanta last year. Going to play for Atlanta again. These are non-playoff teams that have a roster spot for a 41, 42, 43-year-old player who is a really good mentor but doesn't mind playing 10 to 12 minutes a game. And LeBron, is he ever going to be willing to play 10 to 12 minutes a game? I don't think so. And LeBron's never going to be just a spot-up three-point shooter like essentially Vince is turned into now. And he's certainly not going to be bouncing around at the end of his career to play one-year deals on Sacramento or an Atlanta team. That's not going to happen. You'll never see LeBron in Memphis. But I agree with everybody here. With that being said, LeBron's going to try to get to Bronny. I don't know if he gets to Bronny, but he's not beaten. It's not going to happen that he's going to end up beating Vince Carter, because that means he needs to play at least six more years to tie Vince Carter's 22 seasons of the NBA or play a seventh for 23 seasons. I cannot see LeBron playing 7 years from now, which would be 2027. I can't see him playing in 2027.
I mean, I don't think he gets to Bronny. And I don't think he would care about, even if he got there, I don't think he'd go, oh, you know what? In two more years, I could have this record as well. I don't think it's even going to matter.
7 years from now, LeBron is the Rock. He's not Vince Carter.
Yeah, there's no way he's taken one-year deals just to extend the life of his career in the NBA.
Is he still the Rock, or is he Dwayne Johnson officially?
I think he's both, right? Dwayne the Rock Johnson, I think. And by the way, I mean, LeBron's not hanging off helicopters with Jason Statham.
Oh, he's going to do movies like that. I think he's going to be an action movie guy.
You think action movie guy?
Yeah, I think he's going to vary. He's done some of the comedy, but I think you'll see him muscular in some action movies, sure.
Like a Jim Brown Dirty Dozen type.
Yeah, or even, a Schwarzenegger. Like, you might get LeBron the Terminator.
LeBron's not going to be the Terminator.
Why not? They redo all these other movies. You could totally see LeBron as the Terminator.
I can't.
I can.
LeBron is the Terminator?
Mark it down right
Lasers
now.
Lasers coming out of his eyes?
There will be a remake of the Terminator within the next decade, and LeBron will be the star.
Oh, wow. That is the boldest take ever on this show.
Get more this Saturday
Look at
morning,
this. How
2 a.m.
Many,
Eastern.
How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not going to get him in a Terminator?
No, we're not.
That's like the most obvious. You could see it coming a mile away.
How is it not Gronk? How is Gronk not your patron saint for this? It's not LeBron.
I don't know. Maybe Gronk will be in the remake as a Matrix or something.
Well, LeBron's a better actor than Gronk.
Exactly.
True.
Exactly.
So, but Gronk jumping from like a moving train to a moving dump truck makes sense. Not LeBron.
Why? Have you seen the block a couple years ago? The guy flies through the air.
He's not saying whether he can do it or not. It's whether he wants to.
He will. LeBron will be the Terminator.
Not The Rock.
He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in L.A. We've already redone 100 movies and not the Terminator. It makes sense. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me. This isn't Where Will the Salt Go. LeBron will be the Terminator.
I just love the idea that you've gotten that specific. Not like he might do action movies. He might be the A-Team. He might do Transformers. You're like, no. Absolutely, he's the Terminator within 10 years.
Because we got a new Top Gun coming out. We had a new Ghostbusters coming out.
With Tom Cruise, not with Steve
Ghostbusters wasn't Bill Murray. I mean, come on here. You're going to get a LeBron as the Terminator and deal with it.
No, LeBron's doing buddy movies.
Speaking of the new Ghostbusters, I had not seen it yet.
Oh, it's atrocious.
Last night.
With a women one?
Yes, and I like all of those actresses, all of them. Kristen Wiig is one of my favorite SNL characters ever.
Kristen Wiig's hysterical.
She's absolutely hysterical. That entire cast should be really, really funny. And the Bourbon Bell and I just wanted to turn something on, relax before bed, got through 15 minutes, and I said, this is so bad, not one laugh out of either one of us, not a peep. I looked at her and I said, do you want me to keep it on? Because I'm going to take a shower. She goes, no, turn it off right now.
Did you even get to the hunk guy that became the secretary?
No, I didn't get that.
Oh, the guy that everybody thinks he's good looking? He was terrible, too. He was the worst part of the movie. I mean, no acting chops on this fellow whatsoever.
Those are four really funny women, and that script is an absolute disaster.
It's sad. It's sad because I used to be a Ghostbuster as a kid. It's sad to see it fall like that. But I tell you, again, I think
the kingdom
you used to be a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, that was like I always wanted. That was what I always wanted to be when I grew up, was a Ghostbuster. And I realized it wasn't a real job. But LeBron is a Terminator, much better film than that second Ghostbusters.
It's such a good cast. I don't know how they screwed it up so badly.
And did they write it? Or was it somebody else's movie that they were all in?
I love Kristen Wiig. I love Melissa McCarthy. I love Kate McKinnon. I love Leslie Jones. And it was a disaster. When we come back here on the show, Our Trash Tuesdays, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Of Christmas as they happen.
Cyberpool.
No, it's not cyber at all. We're doing it directly to your face.
But in front of computers.
So the computers are an audience of the teasing. It's now cyberpool.
Yeah. Doing it around technology. How stupid.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The unexpected moment of the week brought to you by ExxonMobil. This week's unexpected moment, last night, Citi Field, bottom of the seventh inning, rookie sensation Peter Alonso hits the go-ahead home run for the Mets. It was three home runs of the inning for New York to put them in front of the Marlins for good. He gives the Mets a doubleheader sweep over the Marlins, puts them over 500 for the first time since May 2nd. The Mets have been sub-500 or 500 since May 2nd. Finally went back up above 500. They've been on an incredible tear. And now we're just 2.5 games out of the last wild card spot of the National League. And as Mraz writes on this script, putting them in prime position to once again break the hearts of the fans who have now been sucked back in. If industrial plants could capture CO2, screw you. Think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil is working to make it happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. It is a Trash Tuesday. Cue the music.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Brad, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I'm trashing young children and adolescents who don't have a grasp of when they're being annoying. I took it upon myself to go to a water park last week on my vacation with my sister.
Yikes.
We ended up going on camp day, which was a lot of fun.
Double yikes.
Yeah, a little weird being a couple of the only adults without kids there, but nonetheless, we went.
Now, your sister had you.
Yeah. On one of the rides, the longest ride wait we had was a 30-minute wait, which is pretty good, all things considered, on a hot summer day. But 10 minutes into this 30-minute wait, two girls behind us, had to have been no more than 12 years old, decided to pass the time... They were going to sing and practice stuff from plays they're working on.
Oof.
And I had to spend 20 minutes with, okay, let's try this song. La, 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 la. All right, you go a cappella here.
Oof.
Oh, I played Elsa here, but this didn't make any sense. You take Elsa's role here. And I had to go through 20 minutes of these girls singing and practicing their stupid routines. And frankly, I blame parenting. Teach your kids what is proper public etiquette and what is annoying in public and what is not. This is the equivalent of speakerphone on a bus or a train person. These girls need to stop singing. Just do something else with your time. Look around, you know, play people watching. I don't know, make comparisons to people you know and what you're seeing out there. Do anything in silence but sing and annoy me, because by the time I got on that log flume, I wanted to jump right off after listening to them for a half an hour.
Trash them.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Because Mraz is the king of public etiquette, number one. Number two, I mean, this is a guy that crop dusted Ice Cube. Okay. This is a guy that also ate a piece of dog feces. Mm.
That day, I also accidentally went in my pants and had to go in the lazy river to clean myself.
But sure.
That was this past Thursday.
Yeah. Same trip. Yeah.
Pending father, over 30.
Married, father, with a child on the way, and
had an accident.
You had to clear your pants in the lazy river.
Too oily a chicken finger there. I used to be a Ghostbuster as a kid.
Good. Good. Well, that sounds like you should definitely be telling other people what to do, or in public also. I like your solution is look around. That should be your game. Look around. Look at people. Compare people. Look around.
You would have went nuts nuts if they were singing. Come on.
I'm sure I would have, but I wouldn't have soiled myself in a lazy river. Pete the Body Bellotti, who are you trashing?
Well, off of that, I'm gonna trash people that go to the pool but don't go in the pool. I'm getting a little tired of that. I was on vacation. I was out east in Montauk, New York, and we were at the pool several times. There were several people that decided to come down to the pool and not sunbathe or do anything like that. Just sit down there in their bathing suit and read and then go back upstairs. I'm like, well, why are you here? Just go read in an air conditioner or go read on the beach. I mean, really, I don't get it. I mean, it's not like they're tanning or they're watching their kids in the pool. They're just sitting there, and then they go upstairs. I don't get it. Get them out.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Go in the pool, you space-eating heathens.
Why, it's there.
Yeah. Hey, Bogus, who are you trashing?
I'm going to trash DA, the fine staff at a hotel bar that recently reminded me and my college friends how old and uncool we are. This was two Fridays ago. We were out to dinner here in Manhattan in the city. As we're leaving, we go, let's go get a drink somewhere. Where should we go? Somebody knows there's a hotel around the corner. We go there. Fancy rooftop hotel bar, but it's like, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock on a Friday. It's well before anything actually fun is happening there. It's empty. It's all like sea level, led by us, you know, a bunch of 39-year-old dads out there looking to get into some kind of 39-year-old dad trouble.
Cool.
So we're sitting in a shaped couch. As it's getting later and later, they begin setting up the bar for the DJ that's starting at, I don't know, 11:30, midnight, when actually the cool kids come out.
Yeah.
The staff proceeds to set up our U-shaped couch for the cool people who are going to come in and get bottle service at 11. They're putting pillows out. They're stocking the drawers of the table. They're dusting off the little coffee table in front of us. Didn't ask us to move. Knew we weren't staying. Just set up all around us and then went to the next location.
You had the look of not sticking around for the good stuff.
But then you know what? You could say to us, why don't you guys, we need this space now. They let us sit there, which I kind of, on one hand was nice. On the other, it was completely dismissive as if we were invisible and we're never actually going to stay there. So they did their job and moved on, and I'm trashing them.
Just assuming you're going to leave.
I mean, we did.
Like, these guys are such dorks. They are definitely not sticking around for the entertainment.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
I'm going to piggyback off of something that Mraz tweeted about last week. The people that save chairs with bags. Like, no one's sitting in this chair if your bag is on it. That doesn't mean, like, you get an entire seat for your bag. I was on a ferry this past weekend. We were going over to Fire Island for a beach day here in Long Island. And I walk in, it's a crowded ferry, there's almost no seats, and there's an entire bench worth of beach bags on the bench. And I look, and I say, are these seats open? And somebody behind the bench of seats says, no, they're taken. And I was like, okay, well, there's nobody in these seats, they're just bags. They're like, oh, well, they're upstairs, the top deck, they're going to be coming down here soon. So there's one far seat shoved in the corner aside from all these bags. I go, well, is that one open? They go, yeah, that one's open, but these four are taken. Okay, so I go to this far one. So now I'm sitting totally apart from the Bourbon Belle. She's in a totally different part of the ferry. The entire ride, nobody came. They were just saving these seats for their bags. Hey, man, that's not a human being. That's not a baby. It's not a toddler. It's not a nothing. It's not even a dog. You can't just save seats with bags. Finally, I just shot them a dirty look like, you know, people could have sat here and they were just bags. And they tried to avoid the eye contact. These people trash them.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
You dealt with that on the bus or the train, right?
On the train. And my famous line that I learned from the famous Floody Ice from the Young Guns is, I'm sorry, did your bag have a hard day at work? You move the bag. You got 15 people standing on the aisle, and you have to have, you know, some people have like an orca sitting next to them. I mean, come on, put it up top.
Totally inconsiderate. Justin is in Melbourne, Florida, listening at 95.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Justin. Who are you trashing?
DA, beam me up.
All right.
Well, DA, I want to keep this as clean as possible for the CBS suits, but
good.
I'm trashing retail customers who divulge way too much information. As you know, back in my rent-to-own days, I ran across a lot of different folks. And this one lady, great paying customer, but she was behind this week. And she comes in the store. She was all frantic, and she's apologetic. And she's like, you know, I'm so sorry I'm late. I'm like, no problem. What's going on? How are you? She's like, my boyfriend's in the hospital. I'm like, oh goodness. You know, is he okay? And there's about eight customers at the counter. And she's like, Justin, we got a little kinky a couple days ago, and I broke his Joe DiMaggio. Oh, I'm like, what? Who says that? Everyone in my accounts department's whispering, oh, my gosh, broke his Joe DiMaggio. Customers are looking appalled. And the funny part about the story was, a couple years later, I'm in a different company doing a delivery. And I knew who the guy was. He recognized me. And he said, hey, didn't you used to work at that rent-to-own place? D.A., I couldn't even look at him in the eye. What am I supposed to say? How's it hanging? It was just very uncomfortable.
All right, trash him.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
I like it. Now that has become a euphemism. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower. More trashes when we come back here on the show. Also, we'll talk about the details behind Tom Brady's extension.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.